Scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Mark, reading chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. "If you can't," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe! Help me overcome my unbelief!" When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
Good morning, church. It's good to be here. It's good to be in worship. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. There's just something rich about coming to worship on a Sunday morning that excites me. When it's been winter, it hasn't excited me so much. And when it's boiling hot in summer, it doesn't either. It excites me to come down early and get the air conditioners on in summer. But I wonder sometimes, we just sang two of my favourite songs this morning. So thank you to those who chose those songs. Anytime you want to choose a Wesley hymn, you will get a win from me every day of the week. And we've had two this morning. I don't mind if we overachieve next week and have three, but it's not always up to me. But I get challenged by Wesley hymns when it says things like, "My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth and followed thee." Is that something I believe or just something I sing because it's a nice song, right? Do we actually say, well, I believe that, I think. I kind of believe it. I might believe it. Well, I don't know if I believe it at all, but it's a nice song. If we read earlier in that passage that Debbie read for us this morning from Mark chapter 9, we read about a boy who was getting healed who had a spirit inside of him. And the person who came to Jesus said, "If you can heal my son." It's not about if. For Jesus, I think Debbie shared those words in verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you're able, are you kidding? Of course I'm able, I'm the Son of God. Do we ever come to God with a boldness? Do we ever boldly approach his throne? Or do we sort of turn up a bit tentative? If you want to, I don't want to bug you at all, God. I know you're into the creating thing, but if you've got a couple of minutes, would you be able to? It says in the scripture that, you know, he's about provisions for his people. He's about, we sing a song in the salvos that says, "Holy Spirit, promise presence, fall on me." We say that that's his spirit that comes in our lives. When we pray, and we prayed this morning for Antonio, we prayed years ago for Olivia, and do we pray thinking, "Gee, I hope God turns up here"? Or are we absolutely believing that he's going to intervene in this instance? One of the things that I'm not gifted in is understanding medical terminology. But I don't need to, because I have a mobile phone and I ring Neil. That's true. Neil, help me understand. It's not about believing or not believing. I don't even know what it says. And it's remarkable how much Siri does not like you typing in medical terms into your phone. It tries to change it to all sorts of things. But this morning we want to look at if we're going to pray and we've got those commitment cards, we're wanting to pray for our young people that they would thrive in their school life, their home life, and have more opportunities to hear about Jesus. Don't pray if you're not going to believe that God's going to break through in these kids' lives. Just don't take a card. But we want to see breakthrough. We want to see, and add to that list, and I'm taking the card, the chaplains in our school, because they are amazing. We've got Christian teachers from our church in schools. They're amazing too. But we need to be partnering with them in their ministry. They're in full-time ministry in the schools, teaching kids, loving kids. Man, I teach RE one day a week, half an hour, and I leave sometimes thinking, I've survived. Right? Because it's just not my thing. And like, if the kids aren't passed, if the kids haven't passed away, we haven't had an incident report, I always think it's a good day. When we get through the RE book, it's a doubly good day. We mostly get through it, but some days you walk in and you're like, I'm believing that you're going to turn up, God, but help my unbelief, right? Have we ever joined with that? Have we ever thought to ourselves, oh, that's me? How about these guys in Genesis chapter 16? We read in there about they've just had an... Oh, that should not say Genesis, that should say Exodus. Don't worry, that's my typo. Exodus chapter 16, we're reading post the Israelite people leaving. The Israelite people leaving Egypt. They've been in oppression and slavery for years and years and years, generations, it said. And then they are in the middle of the wilderness, and all of a sudden they have to rely on somebody. And so let's turn quickly to Exodus chapter 16. If you want to turn to Genesis, that's fine, but I'm not going to be there. So that's, please just turn to, join me in Exodus, that'll be helpful. All right. Exodus chapter 16. And in Exodus chapter 16, we read about the bread coming down from heaven. Here we read about God providing for them daily bread. In the midst of this passage, he says, I'm going to send you bread from heaven in verse 4. Each of you should go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, he says to Moses, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they are to prepare to bring it in, they bring in twice as much so that they can rest on the Sabbath. You see, this is one of the first opportunities that God used to test the people and to try to retrain them to trusting Him more than trusting the work that they had been conditioned to do. In Egypt, it was work, 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 work. All of their well-being was on the back of their work. If they were hard workers, they didn't get whipped and the like. And they worked 7 days a week. And all of a sudden, it's a shift in their thinking. And it's a shift away from work being sovereign. Trust me, God says, I will send you double portion. You rest. You rest. Now, if I was a human in those times, I'd be old now, but if I was a human back then, I can imagine for me, I would be thinking, what do you mean rest? My dad didn't rest. My granddad didn't rest. You want me to trust in something that we haven't trusted in for so long? What do you mean rest? Are you really going to turn up? And the story goes on that they were all sent out and they got an omer. An omer is about 1.4 kilos and one omer per family. And the people, there's a miraculous thing in here that we read, for the people that went out and collected all day, they got an omer. The people that went out for 5 minutes got an omer. It wasn't about how long you collected for, it was that you went and collected. For those that hoarded some and kept it overnight, we read about these things. They got more than they needed and it was spoilt with maggots the next morning. It's always good when maggots are referred to in Scripture. But I think sometimes we shift away from this concept of daily bread. God gives to us our daily bread, what we need for today, and we hoard up what we might need tomorrow so that we can be self-sufficient, right? Instead of relying on God, we believe in Scripture that it says that great is your faithfulness, it is your mercies that come to us new every morning. So why do we hold on to our mercies from today just in case we need them tomorrow? Why do we hold on to the hope that God gives us today in case we might need it tomorrow? Because He's going to give us new hope tomorrow, a new mercies tomorrow, new love for one another tomorrow as well. So for those that hoarded more and kept more, it was spoiled. But interestingly enough, when you go to the sixth day and they keep it for 2 days, God allowed the provision to stay pure. It's only when they didn't follow what He'd asked them to do that they found themselves having an issue. Then we can turn this concept of a daily bread is something that we have to. I'm praying that God allows us for it to seep down into our spirits today, that we would see in His promises that His daily bread is what we are chasing after. If we turn across into 1 Kings, we see in chapter 17 that Elijah had a famine across the entire land. This really is 1 Kings this time, and not another book in the Bible. But can't believe that happened. Anyway, in the midst of 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah announces that there is a famine in the land. In the midst of a famine being in the land, in verse 8, I think it is. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Here we go. Verse 8, we read about the widow at Zarephath. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go to Zarephath, which begins at Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I might drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "And bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be empty, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day of the Lord, that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, and so that she, as well as her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that He spoke by Elijah. Famine in the land. Not going to be a whole bunch of water when there's famine. Fair bit of fear, though. Where's our next meal coming from? We can appreciate where she was sitting in that space. Only enough left for her and her son, and he says, "Give me a portion first. Give me a portion first. Make a small loaf and give it to Elijah, then you won't run out of oil or flour until the famine breaks." And here's the key, what Elijah says to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." I think too often we are afraid of what might be coming. Have you ever heard about saving something up for a rainy day? I'm going to save up these treasures that God gives to me in case I have a rainy day and I need to call on them. Our daily bread is referred to again in Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, we read about the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. And He says, "Give us today our daily bread." It challenges us that God will supply daily what we require. Not for next week, not for the week after, or not for 6 months' time, but He will give to us today what we need. When I read that passage from Exodus 16, I can only think that the odor of the manna that was hoarded is something similar to when you are a teenager and you say, oh yeah, I cleaned out my lunchbox at the start of the Christmas holidays. Right? That's just, I'll be honest, throughout my entire high school years, I got a new lunchbox 4 out of 5 years because I wasn't opening it. Nope, nope, nope. I went and bought it myself because when I saw it in there, I'm like, I'm sure I got that out. We've all had those moments in our life where we thought to ourselves, you know, it was good. If I'd eaten everything in that container when it was made for on the day, it would have been good. But 6 weeks later, hoarding that on, middle of summer, there was nothing good in there. I'm not even sure the Lord would have gone inside that container to cleanse it of all unrighteousness. The challenge for us is to be generous with what we have today, knowing that God will give us what we need for tomorrow. It's to be generous. Our daily bread, we say to God, give us this day what we need. Don't give us what we want. Don't give us what we think we might need, but give us what we need. We might need hope. We might need mercy. We might need to show an extra portion of grace today because there is someone coming along our path that's going to need it. So God, would you just provide for me what I need today? Are you ever challenged to trust God? To trust God to provide what we need? Are we ever generous with what He gives us? Maybe it's hope. Maybe it's mercy and grace and love. Maybe it's our time. Maybe someone just doesn't need us to say anything. They just want us to spend time with them. Maybe it's our talents. Maybe we have a gift in a particular area. Maybe it is our treasures. It's a myriad of things, but what are we keeping for ourselves that God may be able to use? Which one of those are we hoarding for ourselves and not giving on to somebody else? Psalm 78 tells us that we need to pass on to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of God. We're not going to keep it a secret any longer, but we're going to pass it on. What are we passing on? Are we passing on hope? Are we passing on mercy and grace and love? They're things that we possess being in a relationship with Jesus. And I think sometimes we see ourselves as a reservoir rather than a conduit for the living water. Everything this morning, it's one of those services I've got to tell you that you think to yourself, do I really need to preach today? There's just been so much of God speaking through a whole bunch of other things that have happened. But I think for me, there's a real challenge that I find myself in a space where I'm a reservoir and I try to keep it in case I might need it. You know, it's like that the game Monopoly. One of the greatest things that we love in the game of Monopoly is that get out of jail free card, right? I think sometimes we put hope in our back pocket. We put mercy in our back pocket. We put grace and love in our back pocket. We put a whole bunch of things just in case we need it and then we can flash it out. Oh yeah, here's a bit of hope. Here's a bit of mercy and grace. If I was really honest, there are lots of times when I struggle to love. I don't seem to see people when I'm tired, when I'm exhausted, when I've just had enough. I don't see people through God's eyes. And if I was ultra transparent, that happened today. There have been moments this morning when I haven't seen people through God's eyes. Not in the service, This is way before the service. But it happened today. So I'm not standing up saying, I've got it all sorted out and all my ducks are in a row, because they're totally not. Every day my brokenness gets in the road and I boot the living, you know, insides out of those ducks all over the place. And then God and I work together to get it all back together, and then I get involved again and my brokenness gets in the road. I wonder if I'm the only one that that happens to, though. I wonder if I'm the only one that hoards up what God has given to me in case I might need it into the future, instead of trusting that God is going to give me more tomorrow. There are some people who are time poor. There are some people who see themselves, I don't, see themselves as not having anything to give. Question for this morning: do we doubt that God will provide? Do we doubt that God intervenes, just as Neil shared this morning? Do we doubt? Can you imagine being that widow who had just a small amount left and he says, give me the bread? Can you imagine the level of faith that it takes to take a piece of bread and give it, knowing that that's all you had left? Trusting that God's going to, I can't see God breaking through here yet, but I'm giving it anyway. I don't have much to give thee, Lord, but all I have is thine. We've sung that song many times. If we are in relationship with Jesus, we have plenty to give. We need to be living a life of abundance. John 10:10 tells us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came and comes to give life and life in abundance. He gives us an opportunity to live in the overflow. If we are in relationship with Him, we experience a life of overflow, of hope, grace, mercy, and faith. I'm believing this morning that every card will be taken. I'm also believing that we're going to have to print up new ones. There are plenty of opportunities for us to be involved in ministries, but they cost. There's a cost associated with them of time, of people's talents. It will cost you grace sometimes. It will cost you love. That does cost us. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross daily and follow me. That means we need to sacrifice something of what we see as important so that we can move on to what He wants. For you this morning and for me, I wonder, is there something that you want to believe? Help my unbelief. Is there something that you want to see God move in a particular situation, but you're not seeing it? Maybe you're trusting in Him this much, and He's asking this much. Maybe you, like me, have been hoarding those resources. And not believing the song that we sing where it says, when we have exhausted our earthly resources, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. I'm not talking this morning, hear me clearly. And if anyone is listening to the sermon this morning after today, I am not talking about money. I'm not. We have so many resources within our grasp, in our everyday week. I am not talking about money, but if God is speaking to you about that in a personal journey, that's nothing to do with me. I am talking about the things that He gives to us new every day. What are we hoarding? What are we keeping for that rainy day? I have been known to say many times in the past, my Christian grace tank towards that person is very low. Who am I to say it's low when God gives me a new filling of it every day? Maybe there's somebody that you want to see a breakthrough in their life and you want to join in this prayer, help my unbelief. Or we want to see breakthrough in that space. Maybe you, like me, think sometimes it's impossible. Oh, but I've been praying for ages. I've been praying for ages and it just hasn't happened. Maybe it's impossible. Well, when you're finished reading scriptures this week and you get to Philippians 4, it says that all things through Christ are possible. All things are possible. The problem, and I shared this with the guys that came to Bible study last week, the problem that I have is that I often pray to God, asking Him to intervene in and to intervene in a situation, and then I try to give Him the steps that He needs to follow to intervene in this situation. God, I need you to work in this space, and here's how I want you to do it. At what point am I saying that God, you're sovereign and you will do things in the way that you want to do them, not in the ways that I want to do them? I'm not. I'm saying I'm trying to use God like a cosmic puppet to meet my needs. I'm actually deleting from my spirit the words of the Lord's Prayer that say, your kingdom come and your will be done. I'm saying it's got to be my way. Are we going to join with those? Are we going to join with those the Israelites back in Exodus, where they go on to say, maybe we should just go back. Maybe we should just go back to Egypt. We had food for miles in Egypt, and now we've got to trust that God's going to turn up. Maybe we're sitting here saying we need to go back to the old ways. It was way better in the old ways. The ways that I used to do it. But Paul says, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards the goal. That is in Christ Jesus. For us this morning, my encouragement is that the Holy Spirit would move amongst us and help our unbelief. That we would believe that God is going to provide for us every single day. That we're planting seeds of faith within this community to see His kingdom come and His will be done. Not mine, not Debbie's, not anyone else's in this room, but His kingdom come. It may not actually look like anything we want it to look like. And I'm struggling to say, but that's okay, because I want to be in control. And I know I'm not a Robinson Crusoe in that space. We all give God, I'm sure, from time to time, tips and tricks on how He needs to work in a particular situation. But let's just pray this week, believing that God is sovereign and He will intervene and work in the way that He sees fit, trusting that double portion will come on the days that it needs to, and that His provisions will come every day. Because we believe those words where it says, great is your faithfulness, O God. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Maybe you, in the last couple of weeks, have been battered around a bit. And you're thinking to yourself, gee, I'm glad I had those resources there to get me through, to carry me. Friends, God is faithful. He will carry you when there is nothing left of us. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. We're going to sing in just a moment words that say, hide me now under your wing. And there's a faith statement that comes in the refrain of this song that we're going to sing. It says these words, if the oceans rise. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say if at all. It says when. There's a guaranteed moment when the oceans rise and when the storms roar. When? It's going to happen, and when it does, I will be still and know that you are God. It's not an if, it's a when. When the oceans rise and the storms roar, will you trust? Will you allow God's Spirit to work in your life to say, I believe, help my unbelief. What are we storing up this morning? Not trusting that God can move, not trusting that God can use our situation. Is it hope, grace, faith, love, time, talents, treasures, whatever it might be? Whatever God is asking of you this morning, respond to His Spirit as we sing together these words.